What, you dare me
what,
to make
you,
it about
you dare
feminism?
Me to make it about
because
feminism?
I can make it about
because
feminism.
I can make it about feminism.
You are now listening you to the are Feminist now listening Bar podcast. To the Feminist Bar podcast.
What is good? What's popping? Welcome to the Feminist Bar podcast with your host, Tina. And today we're here with such a goodie. And our, you know, guest is amazing. Hey, babes.
Hi. I am very glad to be back. It's been too long, basically.
Yeah, we planned this for a while. We planned one and then, and then now we're here. But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So today we're here to talk about sex. We're going to be talking about casual sex, actually. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes, I will introduce myself. So my name is Tawana, also Teeniwana on social media, if you want to follow me, if you want to just hit that up. And I'm a 29-year-old pansexual woman. I live in the UK, as you can tell by this dead accent. Yeah, I don't know what else to say, Tina.
Well, thank you for joining us, and thank you for joining me for this conversation, which I think is super interesting. This has been like a hot topic on socials a couple of times, so it's going to be interesting to kind of unpack it a little slower and a little deeper. So, so we're going to be talking about casual sex, I guess. What is it? What is it? What does it mean? What does that look like for feminists? What does it look like in a world that is incredibly patriarchal and where rape culture prevails, making it, I guess, somewhat of an uneven playing field constantly? Mm. So, yeah, we're going to be unpacking that a little bit. Like, what is casual sex to you?
Casual sex to me is sexual intercourse between two people who have decided that it's not going to go further than just like meeting that need. So that sexual gratification, that need is being met. That's it. There's no more involved in the relationship.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. So I have the dictionary definition here, which is interesting.
Mm. Okay, is it Oxford? Is it Collins? Which one is it?
Not you into dictionaries.
I love me a dictionary.
Okay. So I'm reading this from, I'll put the link in here for those that are interested. It's like one of these psychology websites. Okay, casual sex is sexual activity taking place not within a romantic relationship. It usually applies that there is an absence of commitment, of emotional attachment, or even familiarity between the people that are engaging. So,
yeah.
One night stand.
So under that definition, if I fuck someone that I know from like Twitter that I've known for like 5-10 years on Twitter, that's not casual, is it?
I think it's still casual, like depending
Definition literally like X's that out, because I already have a friendship with the Twitter guy, so or Twitter girl. So
is it a Twitter guy or is he real? Okay, the way that I'm seeing it is these are two separate sentences, right? Is that it's sex taking place outside of a romantic setting, right? No, no commitment, no emotional attachment. And then there is the sex that has no familiarity, because you could be familiar with someone, but doesn't necessarily mean that you are emotionally attached to them or that you are committing to them in any way. But I think covering that lack of familiarity then covers like the other like formats that casual sex comes in. Like I said, a one night stand. Or like an orgy,
I've never actually done an orgy. I've only had one night stand, so I'm not really experienced in that either. But okay, fair point. Where am I?
Yeah. There's a huge umbrella of like what it is, but I think at the crux of it, it is when you are having sex or engaging in sexual activity without really committing to someone. So I would say that the reason that we are even here today and all of the discourse around this is because of, first and foremost, the norms around sex.
Yes.
What we perceive it to be, what we think its purpose is, and how we just like utilize it amongst like ourselves and in our interpersonal relationships. So what are your thoughts?
So for me personally, I have, I don't know if you know Aloni on Twitter.
Love Aloni. I love her.
Love, obsessed, fucking obsessed. But
it was she, remember she, when you sent a dilemma.
And then I had to listen to the replies and I was like, right, okay, okay. Obviously I'm a mumu, I'm a doo-doo, all of that. But yeah, no, I love Aloni.
Yeah.
And I think she tackles what we call the norms around sex. So, for example, like she talks about the orgasm gap quite a bit. And I think the norm around sex is like women, for some reason, women to be ashamed of pleasure within sex, which is something that, like, as someone who only lost her virginity when I was 21, I wasn't doing up the, what's that name? On my block? Like the teenagers, like, having sex, like that wasn't me. I was playing Pokemon, I was doing cartwheels in the garden. Aloni talks about the orgasm gap, and I think for me personally, as someone who started having sex quite later in life, I've learned that my pleasure is central to any interaction with anyone. And I feel like with women, we're told that we shouldn't be that way, otherwise we're whores, we're sluts, we're all these things. If we think to ourselves that I want to have sex because it feels good, that is not something that I think women are comfortable with. Sex feels good. You're doing it with someone who knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
Sometimes it feels like someone's like, you know, he's fingering you and it feels like he's actually in your coin purse trying to find a coin instead of actually pleasuring you. And with women, I've only had limited experience with women, but we all seem to know what we're doing. So I'm here to say it's the men. The men are the issue. They're the issue because I fuck both. So
yeah. Yeah, I would say that that's like very deeply rooted in the purpose of what we're told sex is for. So like biblically, religiously, from what really whatever perspective, historically, sex is for procreation, right? Like you're having sex to make babies.
And where we get taught that, the men don't get taught that. We get taught that. So they're running around doing what they want. Like, and where they hear like, oh, sex is so important. It's this thing. Like, it's very like central in the way that we are going to exist or the way we're going to progress in life. But then our partners, heteronormatively, aren't being taught the same thing.
And I think some of those norms also like translate and even some of like the day-to-day issues that we see, like the treatment of sex workers and the stigma and the shame around like sex work, because amongst men it's very normal and very entertaining and very like boastful to, you know, go out and get sex workers and use their services. However, they still shame them. So on Monday, like you're using sex worker services, but on Wednesday, like sex workers are whores. Do you know what I mean? Like,
like it's this whole thing that first and foremost, the way that society works right now, women are the prize. So what happens is men devalue women because they essentially see that if more men have access to you, you're less value, not because you're less, but because the men that are coming around you, I know men, this is me being a guy right now, and they kind of suck, so why are you letting them in like that? And also just like with like sex work in general, like as someone who has close people around me who are sex workers, I think they should charge more. One. because a lot of the times I get told that sex work just involves like just men using you as a free therapist. That's it. And it's like, oh, okay, so therapists like charge £200 an hour. You're only charging X and X an hour. Maybe charge a bit more, sis. Because, yeah, these men, they need us. And I feel like, what was I listening to? I think I might have tagged you in it on Twitter. It's about how misogyny is a mental illness. Not that it's a condition that we push people in society to do or be. It's literally something that, like, with men, even with some women, it hinders their ability to perceive women as human beings capable of the same thoughts and actions as they are. And that then leads to this whole complex where you've got the, what is it, the Madonna? Is it the Madonna? What you know what I'm trying to get at? Madonna whore, yeah. So either I am a dutiful wife who's only had, I've had no sex, even with you, I've not had sex with you, but I've got your kids. Or I'm a whore of Babylon walking down the streets, just, you know, being reckless with my pussy management. All of that. And a lot of men exist on that plane. So, yeah, the norms around sex are just very anti-women, in my opinion.
I agree. So now that we have bonded over how much men suck, this actually makes, like, we have started off on an amazing start, because some of the discourse around this, which is either very like black or white, and we're kind of trying to like mix it up, but it's either like casual sex is good or like casual sex is bad. Like, if you're a feminist, casual sex is bad, and these are the reasons, which are basically all of the reasons that we have mentioned now, right? These are like the prevailing norms, and these norms, they kind of govern the way that we are treated during sex, the way that we treat each other during sex. And I'm even talking about, even within like queer dynamics, like between people that are masc and people that are femme, like these are like really prevailing norms around like the person with the masculine energy gets to determine the boundaries of the bedroom. That person gets to like determine what's a yes and like what's a no. And some of those things really impact us because A, they put us in danger, right? When we are within safety and navigating this sex with people that we don't really know. Or whatever. And two, like, we are not always treated amazingly. And of course, like, we all have different reasons for why we have sex, which I think is probably like a huge underlying thing in that, like, how do you view sex pleasure? And if, of course, you view it through this patriarchal lens, it's going to be difficult for you not to feel used, right? But if you've detached from that, for example, does that like keep you safe from sometimes like the repercussions of living in a patriarchal world? Interesting. That is, who knows? So the question that I have for you is, do you think it's possible for like women and queer people to exist outside of these norms that like patriarchy sets for us around sex and pleasure?
As someone who I purport, or I believe that I am someone who exists outside of these norms, yes, we can exist outside of them. But there's things you kind of have to just get comfortable with. People are going to call you a whore. People are going to label you as promiscuous, all these things, whilst you're participating in casual sex. And yeah, like, we can absolutely exist in outside of the norms as long as you're comfortable with the backlash. There's always going to be backlash. You just have to be strong enough to say to yourself, like, I don't care. And that's where I'm at right now in my life path. And that's why I can speak on it. I have decided that I just don't really care about people's opinions. And I'm just going to do what needs to be done to make me happy. And I'm the happiest I've been in like half a decade. So, yeah, it's possible. But you just have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable.
That's very interesting, because What I actually think about that is backlash, and that is the backlash of, in quotes, because it does not exist, it is a patriarchal construct, hookup culture, because men want to play the field, but they don't believe that women should also be playing the field, or people in certain positions of privilege who have managed to navigate their sexuality with certain privilege don't feel that like other people also enjoying that privilege is still beneficial to them, because you get to take advantage of a lot when you're the one in a position of power. So I think it's very interesting to see, like, sex positivity is so empowering. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I think it's so educating and so interesting, and they fucking hate it.
Do you know what my secret conspiracy theory is? You know how they say they don't want women to like date around, they don't want us to like explore all that? I think it's because they don't want us to learn that we can actually come from sex.
Oh yeah.
So for example, you're with someone and he can't make you come, and then instead of just like accepting that and loving him and moving on, having his babies and all that, because we don't need to come to have babies, which is like, we'll take that up with God when I get to heaven, we'll deal with that. They feel inferior because they know that there are men out there that can do better. So they try and shame us into not exploring and going out, because they don't want us to learn that we can get better sex-wise. They're insecure about the sex thing, which is something that I find very strange, because it's just strange. I'm not gonna say too much here. I'll tell you outside of the podcast what I think, because this is gonna go out to the public.
So something that you've mentioned now is that you feel that you have control, I guess, of your sexuality, because you said you're gonna like participate in casual sex as you please and navigate that, right? However, the caveat, as you mentioned, is you just have to get comfortable with certain things. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Like, to what extent do you experience discomfort? And I think this is also where a lot of people have disagreed around this topic, because some people say that, well, I'm not going to like experience a second of discomfort at the same time as like letting a man like feel that he's got like one up on me, right? Like, so it's like, when you have casual sex, a lot of the time, as someone who has also had casual sex with men, it feels like even though you have agreed to be here and you are in the same place, they somehow always feel like they've taken something from you. Like, and that's not a universal experience, because of course there are some good sexual experiences, but like, how many times out of 10 are you willing to feel discomfort before you're like, actually, maybe this is not for me? Or is there no limit on that? Is it like, well, if you are pan or bi or straight, then you too, like everyone else, deserve sexual pleasure, and whatever it comes with, you have decided to deal with it?
Unfortunately, I have something called pretty privilege. So I don't really have discomforting experiences with sex. It's either I'm in it, I'm fully for it, or I'm out. And I will say to that person, nope, done. I'm quite assertive. So I don't think I can actually speak on this, because I've realized over time that women aren't taught to be assertive in that way, in terms of like saying, no, I don't want it, I'm done, I'm over it, stop, within sexual experiences. I am very cool with like literally being like, no, done, stop, like, don't want to do it, you need to leave. And I don't know where that comes from. But yeah, no, I can't really speak on not being in control of that, because I am always in control. Even when I'm being submissive, I'm in control.
Okay, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So you feel that pretty privilege has protected you from patriarchal violence within your sex life?
Absolutely. Yes, 100% it has. Because I tend, well, obviously, patriarchal violence is me with men. With women, we're good. I tend to be able to set boundaries with them and they respect them. And from what I have heard from other women, that is not the case with them. And the only thing I can associate that with is that it's pretty privilege, or it's some kind of unknown privilege that I have that I don't know about. But yeah, no, been quite safe around men because, yeah, I don't take shit.
That's interesting that you wouldn't attribute that to your personal empowerment, because having had like several conversations with other women about this, I don't necessarily know if speaking up about sexual pleasure and about like your body, your pleasure in the bedroom is directly associated to how you look.
Oh, so then what is it then? Shall we dissect what it is about me that makes me able to just like tell men, no, I don't want to do it. Bye. Leave. Just, I, if I'm not down, I'm not down.
But I think that's empowerment, right? Because I think empowerment is the ability to like find that power within yourself and identify well with yourself to be able to set boundaries and say this I like and this I do not. And whatever form it comes with, it also comes with an energy in which you are probably not even having consensual sex with the kind of people who would like fight back on that. Do you get what I mean? Like if you're having consensual sex as an empowered woman, chances are your standards for picking that person were pretty high to begin with.
Yes.
So you're always going to be able to set those boundaries a lot easier than people who maybe just didn't have that empowerment, you know?
Maybe. All I'm thinking about right now is I want to tell you a story. This one time I was it was someone that I had like a crush on for years, and finally we met up. And we were getting down to business and I wasn't really like enjoying it. And I literally, Tina, when I say you see this foot like here on his chest, like no, stop. And he stopped. So for me, I've always just said that like I have never had an experience where I don't feel like I'm in control. I'm always in control, but I'm also quite an assertive person. So more, I'm an extrovert, I'm assertive. So less inclined people may have a more difficult time. So it might be just like a personality thing. If you're introverted and all that, it's going to play into your sex life. For me, because I'm extroverted, it does, but in a positive way.
Okay. So I guess to the extent that we do have control over our sexuality and our sex and pleasure, there's people like us that are sitting here in more positions of privilege probably have a lot more of that control. Also having like it being associated to like financial freedom, never needing anyone, never needing anything from anyone. I think all of those things are in there, but what is also important to talk about in this casual sex conversation is that a lot of people actually don't have that. So the negotiating power that a lot of people don't have in certain dynamics or just in general with women from the experiences that have been researched and documented and the ones that we personally know of. Sometimes you do have control and sometimes you don't, but a lot of the times your social status, your class, your identity is going to determine how much of that control you have. But even then, like even the most privileged, even the most rich, even the most whitest of women are not completely protected from.
Not the whitest of women.
Because you could wake up tomorrow, like, and anything could literally happen to you as a woman or as a queer person. So yeah, we have control to the extent that we do. So maybe what we want to kind of analyze a little bit is where we don't have control. So what I say is, because we are able to exercise some sort of autonomy over our bodies that historically women have not had, I would say that the goalposts of patriarchy are ever changing. Like today you're a whore, tomorrow you're empowered, the next day you're a whore again, next day you're this, next day you're that. And I think that regardless of whether you have sex, whether you don't have sex, whether you have casual sex, whether you don't have casual sex, patriarchy is always going to put you in a box. Patriarchy is always going to try to define you. Patriarchy is always going to try to violate you. So I don't believe that any of those things could change because women are having sex. I think patriarchy is still going to like try to subject us to all of these like systems of oppression, which is why I'm kind of like, fuck it. Like, if you want to fuck, you should fuck. Like, if you want to come, you should come. Like, we should close the orgasm gap, right?
Close it. Yes, agreed.
So you're going to get slut shamed anyway. Rape culture, anti-consent culture, it's all kind of like working against you as a woman or a queer person. So I guess to the extent that you can control it, you can, but to say that don't experience pleasure because of it, I don't know about that.
I think just gonna reiterate what I was saying earlier, like when it comes to women and our sexual lives, like you kind of just have to decide what you're comfortable with. So for me, like I'm okay with people start shaming me because I know I'm not a slut. But I am sexually like liberated. I don't associate my sexual history with my value. It's removed from my value. And yeah, like it's about like what actually makes you comfortable. Like if someone was to call me a whore or a slut, I'd be like, maybe, yeah, to you. But I wouldn't necessarily then take that home with me because I know I'm not. And even if I was someone who thought to myself, yeah, I am a whore or a slut, I'd still be comfortable with it because I've had moments in my life where I have identified with like that being who I was, like a whore, slut, all those things. But yeah, I don't pay mind to other people's voices around my sexuality because no one knows what happens in my bedroom apart from me and my sexual partners. And they aren't complaining. We're all having a good time, so.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think, what are my personal feelings about casual sex? Because I think I always like try to discourse from like a, I don't know, I can't explain it, from like a third, like a bystander point of view where I am opening up the floor to like many possibilities just because I know that the people who come on the podcast and even like the people who are listening and the people having these conversations with, they think so many different things and not wanting really to like dictate people's thoughts, but like wanting to all guide us through like these, I don't know, these questions. And I think where I have arrived at is, I mean, personally for me, I think casual sex can be great, right? I think it can be great. But I'm not necessarily crazy about it. And there are many instances where I was almost exploring it as a result of how I've previously seen it portrayed. So you're in your teenagehood, you're in your early 20s, you're in your uni, you're in your hoe phase, and or maybe you're not even in your hoe phase. Maybe you're just existing and you believe you are supposed to be going through a hoe phase. You could or you could not be, whichever. And I think the way that I was going about it and the way that a lot of people go about it, which is possibly what then makes it sometimes so toxic that we're here making an episode about it, is we do it how we have seen it portrayed, which is again, very misogynistic and very patriarchal because people will say, yes. Oh, no. I fucked her and I never spoke to her again. And like, I fucked her and, but you know, she's nothing to me and this, and like all of these really crass and detached ways of looking at people as I guess like masturbation tools. But it's like, if you're having sex with someone, that does not mean that it can't be intimate, even if it's casual. So I think some of the ways I saw it portrayed are some of the ways that I tried to do it, which is like in the movies, you go out and you're having all these shots and then you meet a stranger and then you go home and they throw you on the bed and you have this effortless sex and you come after like 30 seconds and it's amazing. And the next day you wake up and you're so empowered and you're in a good mood and you're having fun, but it's actually not the fuck like that. It's not fucking like that. When you meet someone, it's always going to be awkward having sex with someone for the very first time. And sometimes when you're having casual sex with people, you're having a lot of those first and second times that honestly don't usually then for me did not amount to good sex, especially not with men.
That collecting coins in my purse analogy came from experience with men not knowing what they're doing with their fingers. Like, so can we just talk about that, like, real quick? Let's just, like, digest that. Why don't they know where the clit is? It's right there. As someone who fucks women, it's right there. It's very presenting. Like, yeah. Why aren't they getting it? What is it? I asked the question. I've got an answer to it. My theory is they're only concerned about where they're going to put their thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're having like straight sex, everything leads up to penetration, which is also only pleasurable for men. So again,
I tend to find like a lot of men who the guys I've been having casual sex with, they tend to just focus on like penetration, even within foreplay. They just want to figure out if I'm ready, and it's like, oh. Yeah, well, with women, like, sex with women, top tier, because all it is just about us figuring each other out, learning our bodies, what do you like, do you like this, do you like that? There's a lot more conversation when I have sex with women, whereas with men, they just kind of just assume what's happening, and yeah, we have to deal with it.
Yeah, queer casual sex makes sense to me in that regard, and that it's always exploration, and like, there's room for us to see what it's going to be. But like having sex and there being like a, 18% chance that I'm going to orgasm, for me, it didn't feel that great, which is why my personal stance is casual sex with men is going to be difficult, because it's going to be difficult to find someone who's actually invested in your pleasure as much as their own. But for me, all of the frogs I'm gonna have to get through to find that 1 out of 10 person, like, is, I'm sorry, it's just not worth it for me, not to mention that they're fucking dangerous. So like, how much more dangerous are they when you actually don't know them? So those are my thoughts. Obviously, this is
that's a point. That's a big ass point. Yeah, I think for me, when it comes to assessing the danger of men, I luckily have a cat in my house, Domino. And if Domino doesn't like them, I'm like, cool, leave. Nothing's going to happen.
This is also important because I think some of the conversations around casual sex are lacking a little bit of like detail and nuance, and maybe even just involving things that don't need to be involved. Because from a personal safety perspective, I would say, don't go home with a man you just met in a bar, because that could be a serial killer. And that's
do you know what my main, like, I'm on Hinge, right? My main question is, are you a serial killer? Are you going to kill me if I come to your house? Because a lot of these guys, like, nowadays, for some reason, don't like to take people out. They're like, oh, come to my house, I'll make you some food, I'll do this.
And let's,
like,
smoke up. Fuck no.
Are you a serial killer? Like, are you sure, like, that you're not gonna, like, you know, end me if I say I'm gonna go home early because I didn't like your pasta? So very scary.
Does the act of freedom of fucking who we want, when we want, how we want, protect us from personal possible harms? No. And that's also why a lot of the stuff about sex is very personal. So you know what? Like, fuck this episode. Who cares what we think, right? At the end of the day, you're going to tailor your sex life. I'm talking to the listeners. Like, you're going to tailor your sex life exactly how you want it to be. And that's exactly how it should be. Like, you should be making your own informed decisions. And I think, like, that's why there's so much discourse, because like a million people are having like arguments about things that are so like deeply personal. Of course, we're not going to ever agree or find a place that really works for us, which is why it's like things like, fuck whatever content creators are making these long ass episodes about how hookup culture is reducing women's value. Like, fuck those guys. Fuck everybody. fuck me, who's telling you not to go out and have sex with these men, because you got to catch your nut, like, at the end of the day. So, I mean, that's just what I think.
I also think that, I know we all live under the patriarchy, so it's very hard to exist outside of it without feeling like you're doing too much. But me personally, I've been the happiest I've been because I realized that don't mean shit. Like, I'm going to eat pussy on Tuesday. I'm going to get some dick on Friday. And I'm fine with it. Like, whoever finds out, whoever knows, whoever thinks I'm a slut, etc. Whatever you think of yourself, of myself, sorry, in your head, that's the truth. And I'm not going to fight you on it. I'm good. We're just going to be like, we're just going to exist around each other. I have found freedom in just knowing that other people's opinions don't really mean that much, because your life is your life. Your womb is your womb. No one is going to tell you what's right or wrong within that. So, yeah, live your life, good sis. Because one day you're going to be 70 years old, yeah? And you're going to look at yourself and you'll be like, oh, I kind of wish I fucked that guy. And you should have fucked him. I'm not going to be that girl, though. I would have fucked him. I would have been like, yeah, I fucked him. Big dick. Yes, loved it.
Yeah, I agree. Like, only you know what works for you. If you are a person, and again, it also all comes down to, like, what is sex to you? What does it mean to you? What lens are you viewing it through? And I think a radical feminist lens would say that, well, it doesn't matter anyway. Though
I would say sex is something that, you were saying radical feminists, I feel like sex has been taught to women as, like, a medium of control, maybe even like a medium of being able to be acceptable. So the less sex you have as a woman, the more valuable you are. But it's actually the opposite, which is what I've learned as I've gotten older. You need to have more sex, more of it, figure it out. Because if you are a monogamist, you need to find someone who can actually make you come, because sis, you can't be living your life. You can't be doing that 40 years of marriage without a man who can make you come. Like, figure it out.
Agreed. Though I would still say that practicing your own personal healthy boundaries. I was listening to this podcast about someone who was sharing about how they struggled with casual sex just because of their own personal abandonment issues. And they realized that they would either have to, like, see a therapist before engaging or just not engage at all, because it was leaving them really depleted and really triggered every time that they would have sex. So again, like, all of this advice, I think it comes with, you know, do you, but also take care of you, because then there's a question of, like, what is empowerment to you, right? And I mentioned that I'm not gonna, like, say, oh, like, I'm pro, like, casual sex with men, like, with women, with non-binary folk, other queer folk, I'm, like, so pro. I am not pro casual sex with men, just because, to me, like, that's not what empowerment feels like to me. Because empowerment to me is respecting my personal boundaries. Empowerment is safety. It's protecting myself. It's feeling like I'm going into a situation with someone who views me as an equal. And
oh, sis, you're a lesbian for real, aren't you? For real, you're a lesbian for real. There's no room for men in your life. I love that. I wish I was like you, but unfortunately I'm pan. I like everyone. So, yeah.
Because I actually identify as pansexual. However, not the side eye.
Bombastic side eye.
Yeah. What is empowerment to you as an individual is a great question to ask in any kind of, like, whatever liberation you want to do, whether it's in your sex life, in your family life, in your friendships, in your relationship, like, what does it mean to empower yourself, like, to stay true to yourself? And I think when you live according to that, you're always going to be happy, because you also don't want to be like, oh, like, empowerment to me is having sex on my terms, and then, like, never wearing a condom even though you want to, and you have equal negotiating power just because you want to make your man happy, and then later, like, shit, you know what I mean? So that's not very empowering immediately or in the long run. So Yeah, those are all my feelings about casual sex.
If you're a woman age 19 to however old, figure it out and don't worry too much about what the larger society is saying about what it means for you to figure it out, because only you and you alone have to deal with the fact that you have to get orgasms, or for me personally, I have to. You might not need to, but I want everyone to be coming. I believe in a society of equal coming. Like, everyone should be having orgasms.
Yeah, agreed. I would definitely say though, especially to the 19 to 25s within that age range, that like safety is everything. Like, don't compromise your safety, especially like the way that I was just in random guys' cars. Fucking lucky to be here, honestly, but there were a lot of people who were not. So I think like casual sex conversation.
Wait, hold on. When you say safety, you're talking about actual real safety, not just like wearing condoms?
Yeah, I'm talking about real safety.
Oh shit. Okay.
Yeah, sexual health safety is also important, but I'm talking about real safety and like just making sure that like you're taking care of yourself. Don't ever forget, like, just because you are empowered and you have chosen empowerment and liberation, it does not necessarily mean that that is the like setting that you are existing in. So
no, unless you're hanging out with me and Tina, then yeah, that's the setting you've chosen. Yeah. But no, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, like that's it on this episode. Thank you everybody for tuning in, and you'll catch us again. And
oh, Tina, should we have like an outro music thing? Alexa, play America Has a Problem with Kendrick Lamar.
America Has a Problem by Beyoncé, featuring Kendrick Lamar on Amazon Music.